South Sea Bubble by Noel Coward, with Moira Lister, Michael Dennison, Hugh Burden, Margareta Scott, Brian Pringle, and Tony Osoba. South Sea Bubble.
I bet you'd like a drink before you see your room.
I most certainly should. I'm still shaking like a leaf after that landing.
Coming in over those mountains is always a bit tricky.
It's an eccentric little airfield, isn't it? The first one I've ever seen with corrugated runways.
HE's been agitating for them to do something about it for months. The Samolans aren't very good at engineering.
So it would seem.
What would you like? There's gin, whiskey, rum, or Kala Kala.
What is Kala Kala?
It's a sort of native vodka. They make it out of plantain roots. They turn the roots into a pulp, which they mix with coconut water and then ferment the whole thing.
I think that for the moment I prefer some ordinary whiskey that nobody's trodden on. I don't believe in going native too soon.
Right. Lady Alexandra will be furious that your plane was on time. She hoped that it would be delayed so that she could get to meet you herself.
It was a sweet thought. Well, one more hour with all those vomiting Chinese children and I should have shot myself.
Children are a nuisance in a plane, aren't they?
Frankly, yes. These being Chinese children were a little special. Their general behaviour convinced me that all that well-known oriental imperturbability must be a habit acquired in later life.
The Women's Federation meeting must be over by now. She should be here at any minute. Your drink, sir.
Thank you. Have you been out here very long?
3 years. I was here with Sir Hillary and Lady Blaze for the last part of their term.
What were they like?
Quite nice, really, but a bit sticky. Sir George and Lady Alexandra are very different. He's a bit leftish in his views, isn't he? In the nicest possible way, of course.
Of course.
And sometimes some of the things he says sort of, well, shakes them up a bit, if you know what I mean.
I do. I do indeed. I do.
Barfin!
Oh, hello, George.
I thought I heard a car. Why didn't someone tell me? How was the flight?
Ghastly.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did the press get you at the airport? They've been ringing up all day.
Wheeler was there from the Examiner, and poor old Carbuanu. Mr. Blair Kennedy said he'd give them the interviews tomorrow morning.
We don't often have celebrities on this island. I'm afraid you will have to do your stuff to a certain extent. You won't mind, will you?
That certain extent has a sinister ring. What have you been up to?
Oh, nothing much. Our Sandra, she has it all taped.
Oh, God.
Cheer up. A lecture or two here and there never hurt anybody.
A lecture or two?
You're a famous author, and all famous authors are expected to give lectures, and that, of course. Give him another drink, Chris. He's getting petulant.
Another whiskey and soda coming up.
I can't believe you're really here at last. I've been counting the days, so has everyone else for that matter. The whole island's in an absolute uproar about your arrival. And there was I in the middle of that beastly meeting and unable to get to the airport. Chris, dear, for heaven's sake, give me a straight Kala Kala with ice.
Right you are.
How is the flight?
Unspeakable.
Oh, how was England when you left?
Bathed in sunshine, as usual.
Oh. Did you see Marjorie? Is it true about Bertie and Frieda? Oh, how's Sylvia's baby?
Yes, no. Hideous.
There are a million things I want to ask you about. I don't know where to start.
Press on, my love. You're not doing badly.
Here's your drink, Lady A. Now, just go and see all's well with the boys in the back room.
Oh, thank you, Chris. Oh. Ah, that's better. Buffy, you look rather dim. Has George been bellowing at you?
No. Just giving you a brief outline of my itinerary.
Oh, George, you promised to leave that to me. Now, there's nothing to worry about. Really, there isn't. Just one or two tiny appearances here and there for the sake of morale and prestige more than anything else. You see, we've only had two English writers out here in 3 years, and both of them were Rosita Forbes.
I am not going to give any lectures, Sandra.
No, of course not. One or two little cosy, informal talks, perhaps, about the state of the modern novel or the Sitwells or something.
No, Sandra. No little cosy, informal talks about the state of anything whatever.
Well, you have to open the new wing in the university library, whether you like it or not.
As far as I'm concerned, Sandra, the new wing of the university library will remain forever bolted and barred.
But old Professor Wali Anu will be heartbroken.
He'd have to rise above it.
It's a tremendous compliment, really. And you ought to be very proud instead of turning up your nose and being pompous.
No lectures. Have I made myself clear?
It's no use, George. We'll have to give in. No lectures.
Thanks.
As a matter of fact, we ought to have asked the professor tonight, George. But Cuckoo's always so beastly to him.
Who is Cuckoo?
Cuckoo Honey. She's the wife of the colonial secretary. I don't suppose you'll take to her. Nobody does much at first.
Why?
She's a rather over-typical colonial type. Anglo-Indian background, you know. Prides herself on saying what she thinks.
Poor cuckoo. No, it's the mixture of Bangalore and Earl's Court that makes everything so difficult, really. She's not bad once you get below the surface.
I'll wear an aqualung.
Now, her husband's quite sweet, and he's a great help to George, but he has asthma.
Hay fever.
Well, whatever it is, makes him rather snuffly. Oh, then there are the Turlings. They're a sort of institution on the island. He's a retired admiral. They've lived here for years. That's all. Oh, except for the chief of police and Harley.
What's that?
It isn't a thing, darling. It's a political leader. He's the head of the PIP.
What does that mean?
People's Imperial Party. They're very powerful, and to my way of thinking, damned retrogressive.
Oh, George naturally supports the SSNP, the Somalian Socialist Nationalists.
Well, of course I do.
What do they stand for?
Self-government for the native population and dominion status.
Are they ready for that yet?
But that's the whole point. Hali Alani says they're not, and Kogoswalu says they are.
Who the devil is Kogoswalu?
He's the opposition leader, and I must say he's a horror, covered in warts and stinks like a banjo.
Oh, come on, Sandra, he can't help that.
Oh, yes, he can. He could wash more.
Is he coming to dinner too?
No, thank God. He came last week. We have to have them alternately. Well, of the two, I naturally prefer Harley. He's frightfully good-looking in a rather bogus sort of way. You know, long, coffee-coloured hands and gleaming teeth. George can't stand him.
No, it isn't him I object to. It's his politics.
Now, Harley's political views are perfectly sound. He just doesn't believe in progress. Personally, I find it very refreshing. He's also absolutely devoted to me and pays me the most lovely compliments. Naturally, I'm on his side through thick and thin.
Well, he is a tricky proposition, and so is his father. They can both make a lot of trouble with the election coming on in a few weeks' time. I'm depending on you, my love, to see that they don't.
On me? You must be out of your mind. What on earth could I do?
Charm Harley. Get round him. Persuade him to change his views, or at least to modify them. You're an attractive woman, aren't you?
That's a thoroughly immoral suggestion, George.
I don't see why. I should be the last to underrate the importance of women's influence on politics, if properly directed.
Disguise our bondage as we will. 'Tis woman. Woman rules us still. Thomas More, born 1779, died 1852.
Good Lord, you can still do it.
Through all the drama, whether damned or not, love gilds the scene and women guide the plot.
Congreve.
No. Richard Brinsley Sheridan, born 1751, died 1860.
Don't encourage a boffin, for heaven's sake. She'll go on for hours.
Oh, I do it better, really, when I'm in my cups. Now, how would you like me to begin, George?
Begin what?
Influencing Harley, of course. I'm entranced with the whole idea. Shall I lure him into the garden in the moonlight and pop a tuberose into his buttonhole and murmur loving little slogans about the Somalian Socialist National Party?
Don't rush it. Get him in the right mood first.
This may end in tears.
Yeah, but I don't approve of the SSNP. I think they're a lot of stinkers.
That's neither here nor there. I do approve of them, and you are representing me.
Oh, George, how sweet and generous of you. Am I really?
No, none of that sarcastic stuff, darling. You're my wife, aren't you? My helpmeet. You share my joys and sorrows. You smooth away my cares with your gentle womanly hand.
When pain and anguish wring the brow, a ministering angel thou.
Sir Walter Scott, born...
Never mind about Scott for the moment. Just concentrate.
All right. I'll do as you say. It's against my principles, but I'll try my best. How far would you like me to go?
On second thoughts, I'd rather you didn't say anything at all. You'd only bewilder him and make matters worse.
Nonsense. I'm all set now. I intend to fascinate him within an inch of his life. And if it ends in the divorce courts, you shall only have yourself to blame. You boffin, you better have a notebook handy. This evening might turn out to be an eye-opener for the colonial office.
Sandra, listen.
Not another word. The die is cast.
Your Excellency.
Oh, Chris, how correct of you to be dressed so soon. I knew this would happen, and it's all my fault. Deal with everyone for me, will you? And for heaven's sake, tell Saniamo to tidy the veranda. It's a shambles.
I've already told him. Everything's under control.
Oh, good.
Punalo Alani is here, Your Excellency. He says he has an appointment.
Ah, damn, I'd completely forgotten he was coming. Is he in the office?
Yes, sir.
Well, I'll see him out here. It's cooler. Show Boff in his room, Sandra. I shan't be long.
Oh, can't we stay a minute? I should love to show Boff in Punala, Lani. He's the father of the one George wants me to fascinate at dinner. He's a terrific old boy, and he looks like a wizened ivory nut.
Run along, dear. Punala is here to talk business. Boffin can meet him some other time. Go and fetch him, will you, Chris?
Yes, sir.
Why on earth does he want to see you at this time of the day? Do you suppose there's anything wrong?
As far as Punala Alani is concerned, everything I do is wrong. He's a class-conscious, prejudiced old diehard and a damn nuisance into the bargain.
Oh, well, now, don't let him work you into a bad temper for the whole evening, there's a dear. And don't be too beastly to him, either. He's very old, indeed. And I'm madly in love with him. Come on, Boffin. I'll show you your room. It's quite hideous, and it's full of ants, but the views are wonderful. Let's buzz.
I don't mind if I do.
Mr. Punala Alani, sir.
Tell Sanyamo I don't want to be disturbed for the next 10 minutes.
Yes, sir.
Good afternoon, Punala Alani.
Good afternoon, Your Excellency.
Would you like a drink?
No, thank you. I know how busy you are, and I don't want to detain you longer than is necessary.
Sit down, at any rate.
It would go against the grain for me to sit while Your Excellency is standing.
This is an informal interview, Punala. However, have it your own way.
Thank you. As a matter of fact, Your Excellency has a sublime gift of making all interviews informal. It is most refreshing.
I'm glad you think so.
Although for some of us of the older school, it can at times be a trifle disconcerting.
I suspect it would take a great deal to disconcert you, Punala. You are a very shrewd man.
Oh, Your Excellency is most kind. But at the moment, I am more than disconcerted. I am profoundly worried.
Why? What's wrong?
It has come to my knowledge that the Somalian Socialist Nationals are planning to introduce a new bill into the House of Representatives.
Well, they have a perfect right to do that if they wish to.
The bill concerns public conveniences.
Public conveniences?
The object of it is to dispense with a penny in the slot system at present in force in the principal buildings. Shops, hotels, cinemas, nightclubs, and make all lavatories on the island entirely free.
Sounds an excellent idea. Why shouldn't they?
In the first place, the loss of revenue from the penny in the slot system would create a serious economic problem. In the second place, the social repercussions from such an arbitrary measure would be appalling.
I can't see for the life of me why they should be.
I ask you most humbly, Your Excellency, but most urgently, to veto the public convenience bill.
By the devil should I? To begin with, I've not considered the matter, and also, as I've already explained, my official influence does not extend to imposing vetoes on either party.
You have your prerogative of a casting vote in the House of Representatives.
Do you seriously expect me to exercise it over a triviality like this?
Public conveniences are far from being trivialities, Your Excellency. They are, if you will forgive the play upon words, of fundamental importance. Many issues are involved, notably the question of prestige.
Prestige?
Prestige means much to the Somalian people. It provides an incentive to work and encourages progress. An industrious citizen who has, or through his own gumption, worked his way up through the cane fields or the banana plantations and become a successful merchant, naturally expects to enjoy the perquisites of an improved social status. One of these is the privilege of being able to spend a penny when he feels like it.
You are wasting my time and your own, Punala Alani.
But it is not only for himself that he covets this minor accolade. It is for his wife and family. Take old Jim Pauna, for instance, the proprietor of the Pendala Furnishing Company. Mrs. Pauna, his wife, is one of the most respected and majestic members of the community. Imagine her fighting and struggling with her own employees to force her way into a free lavatory in her own building. The humiliation would kill her.
Mrs. Pauna is quite wealthy enough to install an entire floor of private toilets if she is so oversensitive.
Have you envisaged, from the point of view of hygiene alone, the state of the water closets after a week's gratis promiscuous occupation?
No, I most certainly have not.
They will be a grave menace to public health, and there won't be a chain or a plug left.
As I said before, you are wasting my time.
I see you are quite adamant.
Right.
Then there is nothing more to be said.
I am sorry, Punala Alani.
I, too, am sorry, Your Excellency. You are a stubborn man, and like so many of your countrymen, incurably romantic. I know that you have the interests of my country at heart, but I...
In that case, why not accept the fact that over certain matters of policy, we do not see eye to eye?
As a private individual, I will be willing to accept that unhappy fact. But as a loyal Samoan and a representative of a large number of the electorate, I cannot.
I understood that you retired from public life some years ago.
That is so. But my son, Holly, has not retired. He represents the People's Imperial Party. It is on his behalf and on behalf of the whole country that I came to see you this evening.
Why not let your son speak for himself? He's quite capable of
it. His command of English is not so clear as mine. He, alas, has not the ineffable good fortune to be educated at Eton.
Just as many fools emerge from Eton as from any other school.
I am not one of them, Your Excellency.
I didn't mean to imply that you were. But as you know, I have not much faith in the mystic properties of the old school tie.
The old school tie is not, I admit, as important as many consider it to be. But old school ties are very important indeed. I myself have many of them. They bind me both emotionally and intellectually to the England I knew when I was a boy. An England which in many respects was far more peaceful and better ordered than it is today.
Nonsense, Polana. No one could deny that the ordinary working Englishman today is far better off than he was 50 years ago.
England is an industrial country, and Samoa is not. We are a backward race, Your Excellency. So backward, old-fashioned and reactionary that we still like British rule.
I see that you are romantic, too.
Realistic at the same time, Your Excellency, and with all due respect, I think I have a clearer knowledge of my country's temperament than you have. I know that your friends, the Samoan Socialist Nationals, wish to emancipate us from the cozy imperialism that has gently guided us for so long. Believe me, we are too young yet for such a brave experiment. Too young and gay and irresponsible to be able to do without our old nanny.
What does all this sentimental nonsense to do with public convenience?
A great deal, Your Excellency, as you may discover to your cost.
Is that a threat?
Not a threat, Your Excellency. Merely a warning. Good evening.
Well, I'll be daft.
How's your wife, Sanyamo?
Which one, Captain?
The one that had the baby.
Very well, Captain. But the baby is terrible.
Oh? In what way terrible?
It makes wicked sounds in the night.
Does it look like you?
Oh, no, Captain. It looks like Mr. Rochester.
Who on earth's Mr. Rochester?
He was here last year with the oil company. He was very kind.
I see.
Good evening, Chris. Oh, are we the first?
Yes. Lady A's only just gone to dress.
There, now, what did I tell you, Edward? We needn't have hurried after all.
Well, I want a few words with A.G. before dinner anyhow. Is he in his room?
Yes, he's dressing.
I think I'll go along. He won't mind.
You didn't forget to bring a spare handkerchief, did you?
No, dear.
And keep well away from the window. You were caught by the bougainvillea before.
Yes, dear.
We don't want a repetition of what happened at the Bradley Cobans, do we?
No, dear, we don't.
And don't keep A.G. too long. You know what you are.
Yes, dear.
Would you like a drink?
No, thank you. I'll wait a little. What's he like?
Who?
John Blair Kennedy, of course.
Oh, very nice.
He's her friend more than his, isn't he?
How do you mean?
I mean he's known Lady A longer than he's known A.G.
I'm afraid I don't know. I didn't ask him.
Lady A was very gay in her younger days, you know.
She occasionally smiles even now.
After all, everybody knows she belonged to a rather wild set in London. One of her greatest friends was Lady Caroline Trouncer.
What did she do?
My dear, she was notorious. She married three husbands, one after the other.
She couldn't very well have married them all at the same time.
Then she ran off to East Africa with a jockey, leaving behind her two sweet little girls. And then she went to Vienna and had her face lifted.
Really, cuckoo?
It's true. There was a tremendous craze for it at one time. There was even a rumour that Lady A had had hers done.
Dumb nonsense.
Oh, naturally, I didn't believe it, but that was the rumour, quite definitely.
If you don't believe it and it's only a rumour, why spread it?
Why, Chris, you're getting quite hot under the collar. You're not falling in love with her, are you?
Of course I'm not.
There's no of course about it. It would be quite natural for a young man of your age to conceive a romantic passion for Lady A. She's still a very attractive woman, and I'm sure she wouldn't mind in the least.
Lady A has been very kind to me, and I like her very much. I like H.G. too. He's a wonderful man.
My dear, you needn't be so aggressively loyal. I'm absolutely devoted to them myself.
You don't speak as if you were.
Why? We're almost squabbling, aren't we? Oh, how too ridiculous. Now, don't be cross.
I'm not in the least cross.
You know I can't help saying what I think. It's part of my nature.
Yes, I know.
Are we friends again?
Of course.
I wanted to talk to you seriously and confidentially.
What about?
Now, you won't fly off the handle again, will you?
If it's about Lady A and H.E., I might.
Well, it is, and you mustn't. It's too important, and I'm worried.
Why?
They have too many mixed parties here at Government House. I've never been to one without at least a few colored people present, and generally there are dozens. Believe me, the British are beginning to resent it.
There have to be mixed parties at Government House. It's part of the job. And a very important part, too.
Of course it is, I know that. But there is such a thing as going too far. Now, look what happened at the races last Tuesday. She spent nearly the whole afternoon with those awful Amaboas.
Chum Amaboa is the great-grandson of one of the native princes here in the old days before the revolution. He's a nice boy.
What about his wife? Like his half-chink.
And what difference does that make?
Oh, of course, if you're determined not to understand.
Look out, someone's coming.
Get the garage. We're not late, are we? I am so sorry. The car went wrong and we had to keep stopping.
Oh, not a bit. Lady A and H.E. are still dressing.
There's a rattle somewhere and I can't locate it.
Ah, how are you, Cuckoo? Darling. Oh, what a pretty dress. You must have seen it before.
Of course, I have, dear, several times. I'm so very fond of it.
How are the children?
Cynthia's all right, but I left poor Susan in floods.
Oh, what's the matter?
They won't let her play Prince Charming in the pantomime because that horrid Rogers girl insists on doing it.
Oh, what a shame. What's Susan going to be then?
The fairy godmother. Oh, and a wolf in the forest.
Oh.
The last time she was an animal, she came out in a terrible rash all over.
Oh, it's having to crawl about in a hot skin in this climate.
Martini, Mrs. Turling.
Oh, thanks so much.
Admiral, pink gin as usual.
Thanks, Chris. Best drink in the world. Can't bear mixtures, never could. Did this writer chap Blair Kennedy arrive safely?
Yes, he got in about 2 hours ago. Ready for a drink yet, Cuckoo?
Yes. Dry martini, please.
Just as I thought. Here you are.
Thank you.
There's a strange insect in my bathroom. Brown and rather beastly, like a small lobster.
Oh,
sounds like a scorpion.
That's what I've heard.
We often get them in the dry season.
We must pray for rain.
Admiral Turling, Mrs. Turling, Mrs. Honey, Mr. Blair Kennedy.
How do you do?
Have a good flight.
From the aeronautical point of view, yes. Socially, it left a good deal to be desired.
Well, last time we flew home, there was a whole family of the most enchanting Chinese children in the plane.
They must have season tickets.
I once met your aunt, Lady Gravesborough, in Malta.
Was she sober?
Yes, I think so.
Then it must have been a very long time ago. She took to the bottle in her later years, you know, and kept on marrying very young Italian counts with sweeping eyelashes and too many bracelets.
Just fancy.
But they all turned up in Bugattis for the reading of the will. It was most impressive.
Oh, it must have been.
Sorry, I'm late, everybody. Your husband started sneezing again, Cuckoo. We had to take the flowers out of the room, close all the windows. Marfin, this is the colonial secretary. He looks a bit under the weather at the moment, but it'll pass off. Give him a drink, Chris.
The usual, I suppose.
Yes, dear boy. How do you do, Blair?
How are you?
I must apologize for this.
No, not at all. I sympathize. It always happens to be at race meetings. I'm allergic to horses.
How extraordinary it is. About being allergic, I mean, it's quite a new thing, isn't it?
Doctors find it very useful. It simplifies diagnosis.
Good evening, everybody. Oh, good evening, Bob. I'm afraid I'm a bit late, sir, but another car robbery case came up just as I was leaving. Greeks was away in the hills, and I had to deal with it.
Captain Froome, our chief of police, Mr. Blair Kennedy.
You
know everybody else.
Rather.
Your drink.
Oh, thanks. I hope you had a good journey.
It's becoming quite an epidemic, all these car robberies. Do you think it's a gang?
No, not as serious as that, really. We shall probably get it back in a day or two, providing we can locate it before they break it up.
Break it up?
Yes, it's a new racket.
Yes.
They take them up to the hills, dismember them completely, and then smuggle the bits over to one of the other islands and sell them.
What on earth do the people that buy them do with them?
Oh, all manner of things. Make them into ornaments and pots and pans. Radiator caps for your big price.
Why?
The women wear them.
Don't tell me where. Let me guess.
Oh, dear, I'm so sorry,
everybody. I do wish I could just once be on time for something, but everything went wrong. George, ought the bath water to be such a very dark brown? I mean, it looks like mulligatawny.
It's the drought.
Oh, good evening, Cuckoo. How nice and cool you look. I love that dress. Edward, dear, how's the sinus?
Hay fever, my love.
Not very good, I'm afraid.
Oh, dear. Admiral, nice to see you. Great.
Yes.
Oh, I'll talk to you later. You are on the Unmarried Mothers Subcommittee, so it's much more your dish than mine.
Oh, what's happened?
It's the cashier in Wu Chung's Emporium. She's been at it again.
Oh, dear.
Oh, Bob, I never said good evening to you. What's happened about the sex murder?
Only a screwdriver and a rather tattered copy of Lady Chatterley's Lover.
Oh, dear.
Mr. Hari Alani, I fear very much that I am the latest to arrive.
Don't give it another thought. You've only beaten me by a short head anyway.
Good evening, Harley.
Good evening.
Oh, I want to introduce you to Mr. Blair Kennedy. He's just arrived.
The island welcomes you.
Thank you.
Your books are an unfailing delight to me. I have them all and every one, and I read them without ceasing. You are a most admirable and cheerful fellow.
Oh, thank you again.
Now, Admiral and Mrs. Turley, you know.
Yes.
The Colonial Secretary, Mrs. Honey.
Good evening, Mr. Alani.
Good evening.
What will you drink, Harley?
Some plain soda water, if you please.
Oh, dear. How unconvivial of you.
If I drink strong liquor before food, I am liable to become immeasurably gay and make loud noises.
I should have thought the plain soda water would induce even louder ones.
Now, there's a Kala Kala cocktail all ready for you. It's the Government House speciality. We call it Westward Ho.
Come on, Harley, let yourself go and relax. No politics tonight. You don't have to be careful what you say.
I'm sure Mr. Alani is always careful what he says.
Mr. Alani, please weaken and have one little drink. I shall feel utterly miserable if you don't.
How can I not weaken at such sweet and tempting words?
Ah, Chris, give Mr. Alani a Westward Ho immediately.
On Westward Ho on the way.
And give me one, too. And then we can all make terrible noises and have a wonderful time.
I am overruled.
The British colonial administration in a nutshell.
Your drinks.
Thank you. To your self-control, Mr. Alani.
To ultimate self-government, Harley.
George, dear, there are moments when your subtlety quite overwhelms me.
To you, Lady Alexandra. I drink this one little toast to you because of your great kindness and understanding of my people.
Uh-huh.
Because for our island, it is sweet that you are here.
Thanks.
Because you make so light the good work you do.
Uh-huh.
And above all, Lady Alexandra, to use the vulgar slang that flies too easily to my tongue, because you do not miss a bloody trick.
Dinner is served, Your Excellencies.
Thank you, dear Harley Alani. That was a most charming toast, and it has touched me very much. Come along, everybody. Boffin, mm-hmm. Where are you? Oh, there you are. Cuckoo, Admiral, Grace, off we go. How am I doing, darling?
I hope you don't mind me doing my embroidery, Mr. Blair Kennedy. I take it everywhere. So relaxing after dinner, I always think.
My dear lady, please tap to your heart's content.
Going back to what I was saying, they're not nearly as civilized as they think they are. Of course, some of them, the more educated types like Hali Alani, have a sort of veneer. But it's only skin deep, I assure you. Just you try scratching that veneer and see what happens.
I doubt if a suitable opportunity will occur.
I'm afraid you must have found this evening very dull.
Not at all. I've enjoyed it immensely, so far.
You know, I've a dreadful confession to make.
Confession?
I've read all your books, and frankly, I don't care for them.
Did you buy them or get them from the library?
Oh, I bought them, of course. We have all our books sent out from Hatchard.
Well, that's all right then, isn't it?
Honestly, I don't think they're worthy of you.
How do you know?
With the world in its present state, there are so many really important things to write about.
Name three.
Well, I know I'm not very good at expressing myself, and I expect you think I'm an awful fool.
The idea had occurred to me.
Oh. Yes, I asked for that, didn't I?
Yes.
I see it's no use staying anymore. You're just deliberately misunderstanding me.
I wouldn't be sure of that.
You must forgive me if I've been impertinent.
Why?
But I see I was wrong.
Then you're making giant strides, Mrs. Honey.
I've just packed the Turlings into their car. Their battery's dead and they have no light. So Bob Froom is leading them home. Where's Lady A?
She's still in the garden with Halley Alani. They went out a long time ago.
Edward has finished with H.E. He's gone to his own office to sign some letters. He asked me to tell you to pick him up there when you go.
Oh, it's getting very late.
I can drop you home if you like. I've got to go to Mitz's party at the Apula Club.
No, I'd better wait for Edward. Oughtn't you to wait until Halley Alani goes?
No, H.E. said it would be all right. Mr. Kennedy, would you explain to Lady A that I've gone on to Mitz's?
Certainly. Who is Mitzi?
Mitzi Radlett. She's quite a character. I'll get Lady A to ask her up to dinner one night and we'll make her do her imitations. She takes off everyone in the colony.
Personally, I can't stand her. I said to my husband only the other day, have her to the house if you must, officially. But no more than that.
Was he planning a more intimate association?
No, Mr. Kennedy, he was not.
Poor old Mitzi. You have got it in for her, haven't you?
Certainly not. I just don't happen to like the way she goes on. Of course, I know she has money and entertains a lot of... Heaven knows I'm not a snob. But one either knows how to behave, or one doesn't. Don't you agree?
With every fibre of my being.
Well, I think Mitzi's parties are great fun. Good night, Cuckoo. Good night, sir.
Good night. I hope you have a good time.
Thanks.
Poor Chris.
Why poor? He seems remarkably cheerful to me.
We're all rather worried about him. He gads about far too much.
Why, I shouldn't be when he's not on duty.
In a small island like this, any of us who have the slightest connection with the government are always on duty.
I think you shoulder the white man's burden quite splendidly, Mrs. Honey. You must be exhausted.
I know you're laughing at me, and I suppose it's my own fault.
You have the most disconcerting habit of making statements to which there is absolutely no reply.
I know that the modern democratic idea is that we should treat all natives as equals, but I must...
Allow me to correct you. The really modern idea is that we should treat them all as superiors.
I see we agree at last.
It's been a grisly struggle.
You mustn't think from the way I go on that I don't like the Somolans. As a matter of fact, I'm very fond of them. They're like children in some ways. But what I really feel is they are becoming rather spoiled children. That's why I'm worried about Sandra.
Oh, you worried about her too?
Not worried exactly, but a little bit perturbed.
Why?
Everybody adores Sandra. She's so enthusiastic and so vital, and she works terribly hard. But she is inclined to be a trifle indiscreet.
Indiscreet?
Well, you must have seen it for yourself at dinner tonight. How she was laughing and joking with Halley Alani to the exclusion of everyone else. And now she's been out in the garden alone with him for hours. I know there isn't anything in it, really, and that it's just thoughtlessness. But you know how people gossip in a small place like this.
That is becoming increasingly clear to me.
I'm afraid I rather resent your tone, Mr. Kennedy.
Well, that's quite fair. I've been resenting yours for the last 10 minutes. Would you like a drink?
No, thank you.
I think I'll have one if you don't mind.
I wouldn't like you to misunderstand my motives in speaking as I have.
Oh, don't worry. I understand your motives perfectly.
No, I thought I could talk to you confidentially. As a friend.
Surely that was rather an erratic assumption, considering that we only met this evening for the first time.
I'm aware that I'm entirely to blame for the fact that we're not getting it off. I should never have made the foolish mistake of criticizing your books.
Your real mistake there in imagining that I should be interested.
That was downright rude, Mr. Kennedy.
Yes, it was, Mrs. Honey. And unlike your own rather inept achievements in the same field, it was fully intended to be.
Well, really. Good luck, Mr. Kennedy.
The skin off your nose, Mrs. Honey.
Fucking darling. Your first evening in Somolo, and here you are sozzling all by yourself in the moonlight. Where's everybody gone?
I can tell you categorically, but I warn you it will be dull.
Oh, where's Chris?
With dear old Mitzi. She's giving some killing imitations at the, what's-her-name club.
Oh, you must meet Mitzi. She's one of those people one loves out here, but rather dreads having to lunch in London.
Heaven knows I'm not a snob, but one must draw the line somewhere.
Oh, I see you've been talking to Cuckoo.
Cuckoo has been talking to me. There is a subtle distinction.
Well, there's something about Cuckoo that I like, but I can never think what it is. Has she gone home?
She flounced off in a rage to collect her allergic husband.
Oh, were you beastly to her?
Fairly. She certainly asked for it.
Oh, dear. There's been a drama. I can feel it in the air. Harley,
Do help yourself to a drink and sit down. You look so impermanent standing about like that.
It is getting late, Lady Sandra. It is time for me to tootle off home.
Oh, don't tootle quite yet. Just relax for a minute after pounding up and down those garden paths. Boffin, he's been teaching me the Samoan names for everything. Absolutely fascinating. The night-scented jasmine's out on the count of the moon, and it's called... I've forgotten the name already.
Solali Lalua Lugi.
That ought to fit, Beverly Nichols.
Give me some orange juice, Boffin. There's some in that jug. Harley, would you like a whiskey, brandy, Carlicar, or what?
No, I too will take orange juice.
Oh, dear. It's awfully difficult to influence people who only drink orange juice. Won't you have at least a little nip of gin in it?
If you will, Lady Sandra.
Of course I will.
Two gins and orange coming up.
Is it me that you wish to influence?
Oh, yes. Didn't you know? I've been tearing myself to shreds in the garden for hours.
On what part of me is it that you wish the influence to work? My character or my political views?
I think you have a charming character, Harley. I wouldn't try to tamper with it for the world.
Was it for the politics, then, that you gave me the tuberose?
Mm-hmm. I gave you the tuberose because it smells very nice and looks very nice. You really should have an hibiscus behind your ear. I can't imagine why I didn't think of it.
You must be slipping.
A red flower behind the ear in this country makes a great significance.
It would be fairly significant in Oxbridge.
Where is that?
A dear little village in Arthur Rank.
Boffin, would you please be a dear, give us our drinks and go right away somewhere?
I've only just unpacked.
Now, you know perfectly well what I mean. Haven't you got a nice book to read?
Yes. It's called Tomorrow is the End, but I don't feel in the mood for it tonight. Your drinks.
Thank you. Now, go and play the piano, then. Just let your fingers roam lightly over the keys. Well, not too lightly, because the climate makes them stick. Improvise something romantic and nostalgic. He improvises beautifully.
Don't we all?
Isn't Boffin charming? He's one of my dearest friends.
In that, he is most splendidly fortunate.
Now then... Where were we?
When?
When I said it was time to come in.
I was saying how susceptible I was to the beauty of ladies.
Very right and proper. Your parents must be very relieved.
I do not quite understand. When we walk in the garden, you are most sweet and soft, but here on the veranda, you are suddenly sharp as nails. I find myself at sea.
Oh, dear.
Have I, without knowing, said something beastly rude to offend you?
No, Harley, of course you haven't.
Then why is the mood of growing friendship suddenly in the smithereens?
No, the mood of growing friendship is quite all right, really it is. Only I would just like it to stay like that and not become complicated in any way.
Did His Excellency ask you to talk to me in the garden?
The tuberose was my own idea entirely.
Did he, Lady Sandra?
There now. That sounds lovely, doesn't it? He has such a light touch. A light touch, Harley, is one of the most important things in the world. You will remember that, won't you?
I will try.
Are you angry with me?
Yes.
Oh, please don't be. There isn't anything to be angry about. Really, there isn't.
I am a man of great pride in my heart, and I do not like to be thought of the bloody fool.
Oh, no one would ever think you that, Harley.
I wish to be a friend, both to you as a lady and to your country, which I love, although I have never been there. I wish to be trusted.
But there was no question of not trusting you.
His Excellency does not trust me, or my father.
Of course he does. Why shouldn't he?
Because he thinks we are behind times and make the bad influence on people.
Yes, Harley. My husband is a socialist and an idealist. He believes that all men should be equal and independent and free to do what they want to do. That's why he wishes to help the Samoans to break away from the British colonial authority and learn to govern themselves.
But they do not want to. They are most contented as they are.
Yes, I know. But you must see it would be better for them in the long run.
Why?
Well, because ultimately they would have dominion status and be their own masters, like Canada and Australia and South Africa.
South Africa?
Oh, dear, perhaps I shouldn't have mentioned South Africa. Oh, I'm not very good at this sort of discussion. Do let's talk about something else.
You are a very sweet lady.
Ah, that's better. Now we know where we are.
And that is a beautiful, beautiful dress.
Oh, thank you, Harley. I'm so glad you like it. It comes from Paris.
Does Paris have self-government?
Yes, every Tuesday.
I have never in my life made the travels. I have never seen any of the world's glorious wonders. Mount Vesuvius, the Arc de Triomphe, the Albert Hall.
Well, when you do, take my advice and make a beeline for the Arc de Triomphe.
There are so many questions I would wish to pose to you.
Pose away.
For instance, is it true that in England all the public conveniences are free?
Public conveniences? But you mean buses and taxis and tubes?
No, I mean public conveniences.
What an extraordinary question. Why on earth do you want to know?
Both my father and I think most deeply about public conveniences.
Then you should really try to snap out of it.
What is snap?
Never mind. It doesn't matter.
You have not given the answer to my question.
Well, it rather took me by surprise.
Are they, then, free for rich and poor alike?
Well, if you must know, some of them are and some of them aren't. In most of them, you pop a penny in the slot and hope for the best.
Oh, hurrah! Bravo! Good egg!
This is one of the most baffling conversations I've ever had.
Was it about the public conveniences that His Excellency wished that you would influence me?
No. Strange as it may seem to you, the subject never came up.
I am most glad.
Yeah, I think I am too, really. It's not a particularly edifying topic.
Was it, perhaps, that he wished you to persuade me to turn to the left?
No, Harley, it was not. Now, please, don't let's talk about it anymore. It was just foolishness.
You will perhaps let me say one more tiny thing.
Oh, well, if you insist.
It is this. In the political affairs in which I have power, I believe that I know, and that my father knows, what is best for our people. And no beautiful woman, even you, Lady Sandra, in the moonlight and under the bright stars, would make me change the idea. No, sirree, not for all the rice in China.
Oh, Harley, you really are very beguiling.
Is it at me you laugh now, or my bad English?
A little of both. Oh, but it isn't unkind laughter.
Have I not made you a little ashamed with what I have said?
Yes, as a matter of fact, you have.
That, then, is to the good.
Now, you must accept your victory gracefully, Harley. There's no necessity to rub it in.
We are friends.
Well, of course we are. I really am sorry. I wouldn't have hurt your feelings for the world.
Whoopee! You make my heart light.
Good. Now, you haven't finished your drink.
No, I drink little. It is not well for me when I drink. Sometimes in my life I have been badly drunk and made great trouble.
You have that in common with several of my dearest friends.
Once, at a party in the hills, I broke two people's heads.
Oh,
boom! Like that they cracked together.
I've often wanted to do that, even when stone cold sober.
What is this music he plays now?
Ah, it's a very old song. I haven't heard it for ages.
Is pretty. You will dance with me, please.
Oh, do you really think that'd be a good idea?
Why not? I dance with much grace and ease.
Oh, I'm sure you do, but don't you think we should look rather silly swirling around out here all by ourselves?
Please, Lady Sandra. It would be such pleasure to me.
Very well, Harley. If you insist.
Lady Alexandra!
Why, Cuckoo, I thought you'd gone ages ago.
I've been waiting for Edward. He's getting the car. I came back for my bag.
Is this it?
Thank you. It is.
There you are, Harley Maloney. You've parked your car just in front of mine and I can't get out. If you'll give me your keys, I can move it.
I will come myself. I am so sorry. Oh, excuse me, please, Lady Sandra.
Yeah, I'm quite understandable.
Oh, so sorry, Cuckoo. Cigarette?
No, thank you.
What's the matter, Cuckoo? You look depressed. Has Edward got the snuffles again?
I'm not depressed, but I am a little upset.
Oh, did you get into an argument with Boffin?
I think Mr. Kennedy is the rudest man I ever met.
What nonsense, Cuckoo. He's perfectly charming. You must have provoked him. What on earth did you say to make him take against you?
Whether Mr. Kennedy takes against me or not isn't of the faintest interest to me. It's not that that's upsetting me.
Oh, perhaps it was those crayfish at dinner. George loves them, but personally, I can never get at them. To me, they're a form of occupational therapy.
It's nothing to do with crayfish.
Well, it couldn't have been the lamb. It was dull, I grant you, but there was nothing malign about it.
You're purposely misunderstanding me.
Perhaps, Cuckoo. It's sometimes quite a wise plan, you know.
I must say what's on my mind, Sandra. And if you think I'm interfering, it can't be helped. I'm like that, and always have been.
Like what?
I've lived in the colonies much longer than you have, and I know, I really know.
What do you know, Cuckoo?
Where to draw the line.
That particular knowledge seems temporarily to have forsaken you.
Ali Alani is all very well in his way.
Well, that's all any of us can hope to be.
In fact, I'm sure he's very fascinating and attractive.
If this is your idea of coming straight out with something, I have news for you.
What I mean to say is that in your position here, you cannot afford to hobnob with the natives. You really cannot.
Cuckoo, you're making the most cracking fool of yourself. Do please stop.
Hello, my love. I thought everyone had gone.
They nearly have. Harley is moving his car so that Edward can take Cuckoo home.
Have I interrupted a little private chat?
Cuckoo has been advising me on the technique of colonial social procedure. She has an unerring grip on inessentials.
Has anyone thought of doing anything about that piano?
Well, it's tuned regularly.
I meant something more drastic than that, like throwing it into the sea.
Oh, Boffin. Thank you for playing it anyway, my dear Boffin. You've been a great comfort.
How about a nightcap?
I'm ready when you are, dear.
Won't you have a drink before you go?
No, thank you, sir.
I must say good night, Your Excellency. It has been an evening of great delight.
We've been walking in the garden, George. It was all highly romantic. And I gave him a tuber rose. And later we had a fascinating little chat about public conveniences.
Tuber rose? Oh, dear.
Edward, that must be mental suggestion. You couldn't possibly have smelt it right from over there.
Yeah. Lady Sandra.
Now, just a moment, Harley. George?
Yes, sir?
Harley has very kindly said that he would take me to Mitzi Radler's party at the club. You know she invited us both, and I never did a thing about it.
It's a bit late to drive all that way, isn't it?
Oh, not really late, and I don't feel in the least like going to bed.
Well, I do, I must say. Are you going, Cuckoo?
I certainly am not.
Do you feel like going, Boffin? Well,
I've been trying to talk him into it for hours, but he was adamant. He says his head is still splitting from the plane. Don't worry. Harley will look after me and drive me back all right. Won't you, Harley?
For me, it will be the great pleasure to drive you anywhere you wish, Lady Sandra.
How sweet of you. Thank you so much. As a matter of fact, Chris is at the party already, and he can bring me home quite easily. Anyhow, I shall only stay a little while, just to make a politeness. Good night, darling.
Well, if you must go, you must, I suppose. Run along and enjoy yourself.
Now, don't forget to have a light breakfast in the morning, because there's curry for lunch. Good night, Edward. Do try to wipe from your mind anything in the least floral.
Yes, I will.
Boffin, darling, I hope you sleep well and wake up feeling smooth and ironed out. Oh, the room you're in is rather stuffy, I'm afraid, so you better do what I do and throw everything wide open.
You're telling me.
Come along, Harley. We really mustn't dawdle any more. We should have been there hours ago. Good night, Cuckoo. I'm afraid you've had a beastly evening, what with one thing and another. Edward, she's in rather a state, so you'd better keep an eye on her.
Yes, I will.
Yeah, and for heaven's sake, see that she doesn't hobnob with anyone peculiar on the way home.
Yes, I will.
Drive as fast as that?
Only when I am gay and happy.
Well, I must think of something to depress you on the way back.
You are not still angry with me.
I think I'm too sleepy to be angry. I'm just resigned.
We will have the little drink, and then you will be no more sleepy.
No, thank you, Harry.
It is with such pride and pleasure that I bring you here to my beach house. It is so beautiful and peaceful, and there is always the sound of the sea. It is cool, too, on this side of the island at night.
I suspect it'll be even cooler in Government House in the morning.
Nobody need ever know that we make this little adventure. It will be the quiet secret between you and me.
Nonsense, Harley. It will be no such thing. I detest having quiet secrets with anybody. It makes me nervous.
The whole evening has taken the nosedive.
It certainly has, sir.
I have offended you by doing the quick, impulsive thing when I should have carefully thought. I would not offend you for all the tea in China.
Rice.
It is optional.
Anyhow, you haven't offended me. You've merely made me feel rather silly. I know it was all my own fault in the first place, but that doesn't make it any better. And as for that ass, Cuckoo, I'd like to throttle her.
Was it because of her that you had this swift idea about going to the party?
Yes, it was.
Because she saw that we danced, and you are the governor's lady, and I am the wrong colour.
Let's go back now, please, Harley. It's been great fun, but the fun's over.
One small drink.
No, thank you.
Please, Lady Sandra, to show that you are forgiving me, I will mix the colour as it should be, right and proper. I have the special mellowed bottles here, most ancient. My father gave them to me.
A very nice paternal thought.
In the old days, they drink it with ground cri-cri nuts and moosed hot peppers. But the custom died out.
I'm so glad.
The missionaries said it was wicked because it made too much excitement and the people forgot the new Lord God and went back to old Kiki and Pompombolo.
What are they?
Volcanoes.
Most appropriate.
You like this shining cabinet for the drink?
I'm sure it's very useful.
That came all the way from Detroit, Michigan.
Obviously a very up-and-coming little town.
There. Now, we drink. But we make the toast first.
Must we?
I will say to you in Samoan words, welcome to my house, to my father's house, to the house of my father's father. Lanialu ikin awalali mkoka mkoka mkoka.
Thank you, Harley. That sounded very gracious. Oh, my God! It's dynamite!
You should not sip, Lady Sandra. It should be drinking. Boom! Like so.
No, thank you. I've been caught like that before.
You would like to swim?
Swim?
At night, the water is warm and smooth to the hot body. It is ripping.
Yes, I'm sure it is. But I'd really rather go home now, if you don't mind.
You would like me to play the drums?
No, another time I'd simply adore it, but as it's getting late, I think...
They are war drums. King Kepomolani gave them to my father's great father.
How very sweet of him.
King Kepomolani was the last king of Samoa. He was assassinated because he made curious practices.
No, please don't have any more, Harley. You have to drive.
You will have one more, too.
I most certainly will not.
Then I will not either. There.
Good. That's very considerate of you.
But I will play the drums. Just once.
Ah, very well.
They were not only used for war. They were used for great high jinks also. Which would you like me to play?
Frankly, Harley, whichever is quickest.
When the drums start, there is no time anymore. You will see.
Now, 1 minute drum playing and then home. That is my final word.
We shall see. Oh, we shall very much see.
Harley? Harley, you said you wouldn't drink anymore.
Listen. Listen.
Stop it. Stop it at once. Do you hear me? Stop it! No! How dare you behave like this? You must be out of your mind.
We will have one more beautiful little drink, and you will forgive me.
I will never forgive you, Harley, unless you drive me home at once and stop all this idiotic nonsense.
You have been very rude, Lady Sandra. Very rude indeed.
Now, look here, Harley.
You have pushed over the drum that King Kepomolani gave to my father's great father. That was most vulgar.
Will you please sit down for a moment, Harley? Quite quietly, I want you to listen to what I have to say. It is very important.
I will not sit down.
All right, then. Stand up.
I will sit down.
Now, then. I want you to give me the key of the car so that I can drive home. If you wish to come with me, please do. If, on the other hand, you prefer to stay here and really enjoy yourself with the drums, I will send somebody back with the car for you.
It is a very beautiful car.
It came all the way from Detroit, Michigan.
They ought to give you the freedom of the city.
Ah, all the long, weary way across the sea it came from.
I am not really interested for the moment in where it came from, Harley, but where it's going to. And it's going back to Government House with me in it, and at once. Please, give me the key.
Umpatishitwasimakabur.
Oh, what does that mean?
They are very disgusting words, I would rather not say.
Give me the key of the car, please, Harley.
That is most pretty.
What is?
That jeweled badge. What does it mean?
It doesn't mean anything. It's just a clip.
I will give you a ruby that will mean much. I have many jewels.
I would rather have the key of the car.
You are not making enjoyment here?
No, Harley. It's very late. And I want to go home.
We will have one more sweet little drink.
I've had enough of this, Harley. I was willing to overlook your embarrassing behavior a few minutes ago because you were obviously working yourself into a frenzy with those idiotic drums and you didn't know what you were doing. You are also very drunk indeed and making an abject fool of yourself. And unless you give me the keys of the car immediately and let me go away, I shall never speak to you again as long as I live.
You are angry now. That is bad news.
I'm worse than angry. I'm bitterly disappointed in you and ashamed of myself.
Then we will dance. There is no music, but I will make rhythm with my feet.
No, 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 please. No, please, don't come near me.
But we cannot possibly dance, one at each side of the room. It would look sickening.
I don't want to dance.
Then we will drink.
All right. We'll drink. Where's your glass?
That is good. That is magnificent. That is a knockout. Now, you are a true blue sport.
There we are. Here.
You too, please. Yeah.
No, I've had enough.
Then I will not. It is no fun.
Very well. The hell with it. There.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. This is the cat's whiskers.
Oh, God. Oh, dear.
Do not mind. The sharp feeling will pass in a moment and the glow will begin.
Oh, that was very, very silly of me.
Wait a little. You see how jolly you will be. You will be dancing and singing about the room and making wisecracks.
I should be doing nothing of the sort.
You do not know the real old Calacalla. It makes strange magic inside.
Yeah, that's what I'm afraid of.
You must be brave. You must burn the boats.
I've already singed my digestive tract.
In the old days, at the big wedding ceremonials, they would drink Calacalla for 3 days and nights.
That must have made the honeymoon fairly unnecessary.
But the missionaries stopped it, too.
Spoiled sport.
There. Now it begins.
What begins?
You start to feel larky.
Harley, you say the most idiotic things.
Please, sit down.
Yes, certainly. There now.
That is very lucky.
Who for?
You must have some more. Swiftly.
No, no, I mustn't. Damn.
Now, do not this time drink at one swallow. Sip gently.
I don't want to, I tell you.
It is the sure cure. You must.
A little learning is a dangerous thing. Drink deep or taste not the Pierian spring. Their shallow draughts intoxicate the brain, and drinking largely sobers us again. Pope. Oh, dear, I forgot to sip.
Pope?
Yes, I learned it when I was a tiny little girl.
You are a Catholic.
Oh, no. Not the Pope, just Pope.
I do not understand.
No, he was a poet, is he? And he wrote a lot of lovely things, like a mistress of herself, though China fall. How extraordinary, I should remember that. Alexander Pope, born 1688, died 1744.
There. Please explain.
Then there was Little Lamb Who Made Thee. No, I think that was Blake.
No, I will have more drink.
Why not? Why not indeed? The dew was pouring fast. The stars begin to blink. I heard a voice. It said, drink, pretty creature, drink.
I beg your pardon. I do not quite catch.
William Wordsworth, born 1770, died 1815. I won a prize for reciting poetry. Rodine, you know.
What is Rodine?
It's a girls' school in Sussex. The air is tremendously bracing.
Is that a good thing?
Now I come to look back, I'm not quite sure. They've gone.
Who?
My hiccups. Please, count 10 slowly, will you?
1, 2, 3, 4, 6, 7, 8,
9, 10.
You missed our 5. You are silly.
You are happy again now.
Happy as a bee. Busy as a sound boy.
I do not understand.
No, which pocket do you keep the key of the car in?
This trouser one. But we will not talk about the car anymore. It is not cheerful. We will swim.
Swim like a fish, drink like a fish, and under that almighty fin, the littlest fish shall enter in. Rupert Brooke.
You are perhaps a little drunk, eh? That was very gay and most funny.
Tight as a tick, tight as a drum.
You would like me to play the drum?
Oh, please do. It would be delightful.
You would really like?
Oh, it's lovely. I adore drums. All sorts of drums. Big drums, little drums, kettle drums, oil drums, ear drums.
You see, you are beginning to make the joke.
Oh, I can do better than that. Just give me time.
You would like another drink?
Oh, yes, please.
You really would?
Oh, immensely. I would like to drink a toast. Cuckoo.
She is a stupid cow.
Her motives are pure, and she speaks straight from the shoulder. She's told everybody on the island that I've had my face lifted. The way I feel at the moment, I wish to God I had.
Your face is most glorious.
Oh, that's going a little far. But thank you all the same.
Here is the drink.
Put it down on that dear little table, and I will sip it rhythmically while you're playing the drum.
That will be good.
You're still quite determined not to give me the key of the car before you start, I mean.
Oh, no, 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 no. Please do not start the argument again.
All right. Be it on your own head. Fire away.
The evening is once more the smasheroo.
Auna lukaruma e slunga klabonga.
What does that mean?
I will tell you later when we swim in the warm sea.
Oh God, I'm mad. What have I? His pulse. Oh, thank God. Down, but not dead. Now for the keys. This pocket, you said. Do not lift him from the bracken. Leave him lying where he fell. William Edmonston Atoon. Born 1813, died 1865.
Good morning, sir.
Morning, Chris. Been riding?
Yeah, just to shake up the liver a bit after Mrs. Champagne.
Was it a good party? It
turned into a bit of a rout before the end.
Did you bring Lady A back?
No, she left with Harley Alani. She arrived with him, too. It was quite a sensation. I don't think Mitzi quite expected her.
Well, she invited her. She invited us both.
Oh, did she? I didn't know.
Why the hell didn't you bring Lady A home?
But sir...
You say it caused a sensation when she arrived with Harley. You might have known it would cause still more of a sensation if she left with him. Why didn't you use your head?
As I told you, sir, I did offer it to, but you see...
She ought never to have gone. Now we shall have the whole island gossiping.
Good morning, George.
Oh, morning. Did you sleep well?
Beautifully. I'd be ready for anything. Good morning, Captain Moorcock. How was the party?
Oh, it was all right.
Did your hostess oblige with any of her side-splitting impersonations?
He was too busy giving an impersonation himself to notice. A very good impersonation of a damn bad ADC.
Oh, sir!
Go on, cut along and do a job of work if you're capable of it. You get on my nerves.
Yes, sir. I'm sorry, sir.
Poor boy. You seem rather testy this morning. Is anything wrong?
I was ticking him off for not bringing Sandra home from the party.
And perhaps she didn't want him to.
That's not the point. He should have done it whether she wanted him to or not.
It might have caused a mild scandal if he'd carried her off by force.
I've been kicking myself all night long.
You must be exhausted.
I should never have let her go off alone with Harley in the first place.
It didn't seem to me that you had much choice.
Good morning, darling.
Morning.
Morning, Buffy.
Good morning. You look terrible.
Martin. I do hope you slept like a top. You really were an angel last night to play that hellish piano so beautifully. Absolutely saved the situation. I really must apologize for this barbarous idea of George's of having a communal breakfast. I tried to reason with him, but he insists. He saw a country house comedy once in which everybody was frightfully witty all through the last act and kept on helping themselves to kedgeree.
You're very bright this morning.
Oh, why shouldn't I be? I was up with a lark, sitting on my veranda, sipping my early tea and watching the sunrise.
As your room faces due west, you must have had a periscope.
Don't be so crotchety, dear. Well, isn't anybody going to have anything to eat? My God, there really is kedgeree.
What time did you get home?
Oh, not very late. We didn't stay long.
You should have let Chris drive you back.
Why?
They would have looked better.
What nonsense.
Just nonsense. You know how people talk.
Harley would have been bitterly hurt if I had suddenly abandoned him and gone home with Chris.
You wouldn't have gone to the party alone with him in the first place.
If you didn't want me to, why didn't you say so?
You know perfectly well I couldn't. Straight out in front of everyone.
Don't you think, darling, that you're being just the tiniest bit unreasonable? I mean, first, you asked me to use my woman's wiles to fascinate Harley and induce him to modify his political opinions, which, incidentally, he hasn't the faintest intention of doing. Then, when I suggested that he should take me to Mitzi's because you were too lazy to go, you were so enthusiastic that you practically tucked us into the car.
I was not enthusiastic. I tried to get Boffin to go with you.
Boffin had a splitting headache, didn't you, dear?
Yes. I had wind under the heart as well, and a touch of athlete's foot.
Oh, Boffin. Now you turn on me because I didn't leave poor Hallie flat and come home in a haze of official sanctity with the ADC. Poor Chris was off duty anyhow, and making heavy weather with that girl with a vast bust. Sylvia something or other.
Who is Sylvia? What is she that all her swains commend her?
William Shakespeare, born 1564, died 1616.
The chief of police wants to see you, sir. He says it's urgent.
Oh. There now.
What's the matter?
I've got hiccups again.
Again?
I had them in the night.
Tell Bob Froome to come here.
Yes, sir.
I wonder what the blazes is wrong now.
Oh, dear.
Bob Froome, sir.
Morning, Bob. What's wrong?
Quite a lot, I'm afraid, sir. I wonder if perhaps...
You'd rather talk to me alone?
Well, as a matter of fact...
Now, I must know what's happened. Boffin and I are perfectly trustworthy. We won't say a word if it's all that secret.
I'm afraid it won't be a secret long anyhow.
They've gone.
I beg your pardon?
Oh, never mind. Go on.
Well, actually, I'm glad you're here, Lady A. I want to see you rather particularly.
Don't be so damn mysterious, Bob. Let's have it. What's happened?
It's Harley Alani. He's had his head bashed in.
Oh, good God.
Bashed in? Surely not.
He's in hospital now with concussion.
Well, this is serious. When did it happen?
Sometime in the early hours of the morning. He was found in his beach house at Payana Bay, unconscious.
Who found him?
The local policeman there. He noticed the lights were on in the bungalow, so he thought he'd better check up. He knocked and got no answer, so he went in and found Harley lying on the floor. Apparently someone had crept up behind him and hit him on the head with a bottle.
How sordid.
Any fingerprint?
My chaps are working on that now.
Are they really?
Yes, I sent them out there an hour ago.
Very efficient.
I understand that you accompanied Harley Alani to Mrs. Radlett's party at the Apula Club, Lady A.
Yes, I did.
Can you remember at what time you left the party?
No, not exactly. Oh, Chris was there. He saw us go. What time would you say it was, Chris?
Oh, round about 12:30, I should think.
And he drove you straight back here?
Of course.
He drove the car himself. There was no chauffeur.
No, I only wish there had been. Harley drives terribly fast. I can't bear being driven terribly fast. Can you, Boffin?
It can be fun if you stick to the wrong side of the road.
Whoever committed the crime must have pinched the car, too.
Pinched the car?
Yes. It was found smashed up in a ditch about a mile away from here.
How extraordinary.
You say that Harley dropped you here at approximately 12:45.
Yes. I suppose it would be about that time if we left the club at 12:30.
That means he would have got to the beach house at Payana at approximately 1:45 if he dropped you here at 12:45. It isn't very far to Payana as the crow flies, but that road over the pass is so twisted that even Harley couldn't drive very fast on it.
Oh, yes, he could.
What?
I mean, judging by the way we shot up here, I mean, he's quite capable of hurtling up and down the mountains like a bullet out of a gun.
A confused metaphor.
Well, thank you very much, Lady A. I won't bother you any more for the moment.
Oh, but you're not bothering me in the least, Bob. I'm only too delighted to help in any way I can. Poor Harley. What could he have been up to in that sinister little beach house all alone?
Perhaps he wasn't all alone.
He certainly wasn't. We have every proof of that.
What kind of proof?
Well, there were signs that a fairly drunken orgy had taken place.
Oh, disgusting.
What sort of signs?
Oh, you know, the usual things. Cigarette ends, empty bottles.
Broken glasses, furniture all over the place.
Sounds like poor Alice's flat in Curzon Street.
We don't want to hear about poor Alice at the moment.
I know you've never liked her, but she had a certain frowsy charm, hasn't she, Boffin?
Frowsy is the operative word.
We better go into my office, Bob. We shan't be interrupted.
No, you can't. No, it's being done. I saw seven maids with seven mops ambling towards it a little while ago.
You say Harley had someone else there with him and that he'd been drinking?
Yes, sir.
But I always thought that Harley was virtually a teetotaler.
Oh, he kicks over the traces sometimes. Once at a party in the hills, he cracked two people's skulls together.
Well, perhaps it was one of them who cracked his last night. After all, fair's fair.
There's no moment for flippancy, Sandra. It's damn serious.
Oh, I think I'd better be going along now, sir.
Yes, I think perhaps you had.
Do you think I could do some telephoning from the ADC's room? It would save time.
Well, of course. Will you take him, Chris?
Yes, sir.
Oh, thank you again, lady, eh?
Oh, pleasure.
I'll keep you posted, sir, as to what happens.
Good. Thanks.
Well, what an excitement.
I don't like this. I don't like this at all.
Give me some more coffee, will you, Bobby?
Black or white?
Jet black, please, dear.
I wonder who the devil did it.
Did what?
Tried to murder Harley, of course.
Murder? Really, George, aren't you being a little melodramatic?
Well, he had his head bashed in with a bottle.
Well, probably only in fun.
Was he drunk at Mitzi's party?
Of course he wasn't. He behaved exquisitely.
This business might lead to a lot of trouble. Bad trouble.
I don't see any reason to make such a terrible issue of it. It's all quite obvious to me.
Oh, it is it?
Well, of course.
Perhaps you'll explain then, if you know so much about it.
Oh, I don't know anything, but I can make a pretty shrewd guess.
So can I.
What do you mean by that?
Exactly what you mean, dear, I suspect.
Now, look here, if you, either of you, have any ideas that might shed a little light on the situation, I should be very pleased to hear them.
Well, my theory is that he had a woman out there with him in that beach house, and that they had a row, and that she fetched him a nice wallop of the bottle, took his car and drove home.
Why was the car abandoned in a ditch?
Perhaps she didn't drive very well. Or perhaps she was drunk. What do you think, Sandra?
I couldn't agree with you more. I can visualize the whole thing. She was probably one of those almond-eyed half-caste women, very sinuous and clattering with cheap jewelry.
How did she get there? It's a long way away and quite isolated.
Oh, I expect he'd sent her over earlier in the day and that she was sitting there waiting for him, crouching in the shadows with her eyes gleaming like half-moons.
Half-caste half-moons.
Oh, Boffin. Perhaps it was a sort of showdown. She might have had a child by him.
You say Harley dropped you off here at approximately 12:45.
No. No, it was Bob who said that. Don't you remember? He kept adding up all the time.
Well, be that as it may. Harley did drop you here after the party, didn't he?
Well, of course. I couldn't very well have walked, could I? It's miles.
You'll be willing to swear to that in a court of law?
You always have to swear to everything in a court of law on account of them rushing at you with that little Bible.
Do you remember which sentry was on duty at the door last night?
Distinctly. The very tall, thin one with the enormous Adam's apple.
Did you say good night to him?
No. I didn't want to wake him.
Wait. You mean that the sentry on duty outside Government House was fast asleep?
Now, if you say anything to him about it, I shall never forgive you. I should hate to get the poor boy into trouble.
You are telling me the truth, Sandra, aren't you?
Of course I am. Why on earth shouldn't I?
You left the party with Harley. You drove back here.
Far too fast. We nearly killed two chickens and we missed the lamp standard at the crossroads by inches.
And he wasn't drunk?
No, he just likes driving like a maniac.
He dropped you here and went on by himself?
He flashed off down the drive like a streak with the exhaust full out. I wonder you didn't hear it. It was enough to waken the dead.
But it didn't wake the sentry.
No. No, he just gave a little grunt and turned over.
He was lying down?
No, no, no. He was just sort of leaning. He didn't exactly turn over. He just changed his position.
You didn't go with Harley?
George!
It was not you who were with him in the beach house?
Clattering with cheap jewelry.
Shut up, Bobbin.
I think, George, that this inquisition has gone far enough.
You haven't answered my question.
It didn't deserve an answer. No man with the faintest sensitivity or perception could have asked it.
Now, look here, Sandra.
I am willing to forgive you for your curious behavior this morning, because it is my considered opinion that you are far from well.
Sandra.
Dr. Crosby said only the other day, when you were gorging those Bombay mangoes at lunch, that you were insulting your metabolism.
My metabolism has nothing to do with it.
Of course, if you wish to insult your metabolism from morning to night, that is entirely your own affair. I am going to my room. I have a great deal to do this morning, so I shall not see you again till luncheon, by which time I hope that you will have recovered your manners.
Once and for all, Sandra, did you or did you not go with Harley Alani to his beach house last night and bash him over the head with a bottle?
Of course I did. And if you don't stop bellowing at me, I shall do the same to you. Come, Boffin.
Anuatu Duamoa.
Oh, look, Sanyamo. In this particular place, it is more fitting that we speak English.
Oh, yes, sir. Kunarwarani. You will please to sit?
Thank you.
Cigarette?
No, thank you. Not for the moment.
Your son, Hali Alani, was here last night.
Yes, I know.
He is a strong, beautiful man. He walked long, long time in garden with Lady Excellency, and she gave him white flower.
Did she indeed?
Then they sit together on veranda quite close and talk and talk, and visiting gentlemen play piano inside.
Thank you, Sanyamo.
Then away they go, pip-puff in the motor car. Quick like light.
What time did Lady Excellency return?
4:25. I check with sentry.
Good.
She not come back through main gate. She climbed through hibiscus hedge and creep softly up drive like mouse.
Did sentry see her?
Yes, but he pretend look other way. He is very devoted to Lady Excellency. She give him jackma scarf for his girl and rattled with small bell for baby.
I see.
Nalina spent 2 hours trying to fix Lady Excellency's evening shoes, but no use. They've had it.
Thank you, Sanyamo. You have told His Excellency that I'm here.
Yes, he come now. I go now. So?
Good morning, Fulano Alani.
Your Excellency does me great honor.
I got your message saying you wanted to see me and that it was urgent.
That is so, Excellency. I presume that you are aware that my son Hali has met with a slight accident.
Yes, I believe I did hear something about it. He got beaten up, didn't he?
Beaten down, I think, would be more accurate description.
Have it your own way.
The incident occurred at his beach house in Payana Bay during the early hours of this morning.
I shouldn't attach too much importance to it if I were you. He was probably having a bit of a party with a few friends and someone spoke out of turn. Boys will be boys, you know.
My son has 4 wives, Your Excellency. I think we may safely assume that he has passed the age of puberty.
No doubt. But I presume you didn't come all the way up here to discuss your son's domestic problems.
No, Your Excellency. I came to discuss yours.
Mine?
Yes. It seems to me, in view of the present unfortunate situation, that they might become considerably embarrassing.
What unfortunate situation? What are you talking about?
My son, as you are aware, is in a position of great political importance.
In that case, perhaps it would be better if he were a teetotaler.
Sir Winston Churchill isn't.
What has that got to do with anything?
I am willing to admit my son occasionally disregards the responsibilities of his high office and behaves, shall we say, a trifle impetuously.
I wish you would come to the point, Punalo Alani.
Your wife, Lady Alexander.
I think perhaps it would be as well if we left my wife's name out of this conversation.
That, I fear, is impossible, as she is the crux of the whole affair.
What the devil do you mean?
You know perfectly well what took place last night at my son's beach house, don't you, Your Excellency?
Whatever you may think you know, and whatever you may think I know, you haven't got one shred of proof that my wife went to the beach house with Harley last night.
That, as a matter of fact, I have. Irrefutable proof.
What is it?
A sapphire and diamond clip inscribed with some austerity on the gold underpart. Sandra from George.
Give it to me at once.
That I cannot do. It is in my safe at home.
Who found it?
The night watchman. But don't be alarmed, he cannot read.
Why didn't you bring it with you?
It is better where it is for the moment.
I can hardly bring myself to believe that a man of your eminence could sink so low as this, Punalo Alani. How much do you want?
If you are suspecting me of blackmailing you for money, Your Excellency, you are very foolish. I am considerably richer man than you are ever likely to be.
I have no idea what devious motive you have in all this, but whatever it is, I'll have no part of it. Is that clear?
No, Your Excellency, that won't do. That won't do at all. For heaven's sake, put aside your pride and anger and reflect calmly for a moment. The situation is too serious to be dismissed with a few bitter words.
I have no intention of being blackmailed by you or anybody else.
Stop blustering, Your Excellency. You are in an extremely delicate position. We live in an age of publicity. If any mention of last night's regrettable incident gets into the local newspapers, it will only be a matter of hours before it is headlined across the world.
Why should it get into the local newspapers?
The fact that my son was attacked is already known. Reporters and photographers have been besieging the hospital since early this morning. So far, no statement has been made. But a statement must be made within the next few hours. A suitable culprit must be procured to confess to the attempted murder of my son.
Attempted murder? Damn nonsense.
It is also known that Lady Alexandra left Mrs. Ratlett's party at the Opula Club alone with my son. Unless we can establish a watertight alibi for her, nothing can save her from being hopelessly compromised.
What did you mean just now when you said that a suitable culprit must be procured?
Exactly what I said. Fortunately, I have a few possibles lined up already.
Do you mean that a man will be bribed to confess to a crime of which he is completely innocent?
Certainly. He will be tried and sentenced to a term of imprisonment. After a few days, he will escape to one of the other islands. It's quite easy to arrange.
Of all the immoral corrupt...
Try to be realistic, Your Excellency.
You seriously imagine that even in order to shield my wife, I would allow a man to be convicted of a crime he didn't commit?
The choice lies between that and allowing your wife to be convicted in the eyes of the world of a crime she did commit.
Crime she was defending her honor from the disgusting advances of your inebriated son.
Your wife is a very attractive and charming woman. And as you said yourself a little while ago, boys will be boys.
What is your object in all this, Punalo Alani?
To avoid a scandal and save the reputation of a gracious and charming lady.
Then why not give the clip back and say nothing about it?
The clip, as I have already said, is of no importance in itself. It only might be considered of value if it could be used as a lever.
Lever?
To prise loose, perhaps, a little of Your Excellency's political dogmatism.
Are you presuming to dictate to me, Punalo Alani?
Frankly, yes, and I'm sure that when your immediate irritation subsides, you will be the first to see that I am in an admirable position to do so.
Now, look here.
I will even go so far as to deliver an ultimatum. Unless you give me your solemn promise as a man of honor that you will veto the Public Conveniences Bill, and in addition to that, withdraw your allegiance to the Samoan Socialist National Party in the forthcoming elections, I will show your wife's clip to the press, and to coin a phrase, bust the works wide open.
I'll see you in hell first.
Good morning, Punalo Alani. What a surprise to find you here. How is your son?
He regained consciousness at 9:05 and was sick at 9:22.
Oh. Punalo and I are having a private conversation, Sandra.
Ring for Sanyamo to bring the drinks, will you, Walken? The bell's by the door.
With all the pleasure in the world. I can still taste that beastly rum.
Have you asked Punalo Alani to stay to lunch, George?
No, I most certainly have not.
Then all I can say is that it's the most inhospitable of you.
He came here to discuss business, Sandra. Very unpleasant business.
Well, there's a time and place for everything, even unpleasantness. And this isn't either. You will stay, won't you?
You are very gracious, Lady Alda.
There's only curry, but there's masses of it.
I really think I...
Of course, if you don't like curry, we can have an egg dish whipped up for you in a flash.
It was not because of the curry that I hesitated, Lady Alexandra. As a matter of fact, I'm exceedingly fond of you.
Come to my office, will you please, Punalo?
No, George. I really can't allow that. Once you get into that office, there's no getting you out again. Lunch is practically ready now, and I don't want it ruined. Ah, here's Sanyamo with the drink.
Thank God.
I hope there's a Westward Ho in the shaker, Sanyamo.
Yes, my lady.
Good. Then you can leave it. We'll help ourselves.
Very good, my lady.
Westward Ho is our Kala Kala speciality. I love Kala Kala. It makes one so cheerful and uninhibited.
Heir of the Dom.
Harley Alani is here, Lady A. He said he wants to speak to you privately and that it's very important.
Two extra for lunch, please, Sanyano.
Very good, my lady.
Well, I'll be damned.
You really must try to cultivate a little more social poise, George. World revolution or no world revolution. Bring Harley in, Chris. Tell him we can talk privately after lunch, but certainly not before. I'm famished. I might take him for a little walk in the garden, George, if he can stand up after last night.
All right, Lady A.
A cocktail, Mr. Alani?
Thank you.
We haven't been officially introduced. My name is Blair Kennedy.
I knew your father well, Mr. Kennedy. I was his fag at Eton.
I do hope he was nice to you. He was horrid to me.
Oh, by the way, I forgot to tell you. I met that scruffy little reporter from the Daily Reaper in the town, just as we were coming out of Caldwell's.
What did you say to him?
Oh, now, there's no need to look so stricken, George. I told him that I never gave press interviews, and that he'd better talk to you. He's coming at 4:30.
Then he can go away again.
Now, it would be churlish to refuse to see him. Just fob him off with a few little anecdotes about your early struggles.
It's not my early struggles he wants to hear about, Sandra. It's your recent ones.
Hush, George. I can see in your eye that you're on the verge of being indiscreet. Ah, Harley. How nice of you to come, Harley. Your father's already here.
I knew that my father would be here. It is one of the reasons that I came.
Poor Harley. You did get a wallop, didn't you?
How dare you come here, you...
I appreciate the conflict that churns your breast, Your Excellency. I apologize with much humbleness. For my father, I apologize also.
You are behaving like a fool, Holly. Please go home at once.
Another reason I came, Lady Sandra, was to bring you back your most pretty diamond and sapphire clip.
Holly.
It was found in my car early this morning. Here you are.
Oh, how thoughtful of you, Harley. I can't thank you enough. I knew I must have dropped it somewhere. I'm always doing things like that. I once lost a pearl necklace in a street fight. Of course, they weren't real pearls, and it wasn't a real street fight. Just a film premiere.
It's the sentimental value that counts.
It is most dismal to lose something of sentimental value.
Yes, like India.
Well, this is crammed with sentiment for me. Do you remember it, darling?
Only too well.
Would you like a cocktail?
No, thank you. I am upon the wagon.
That is good news, my son.
Better late than never.
George!
I have more good news also.
What is it, Holly?
The man who made the violent, sharp attack on me and stole away my sweet car has given himself up to the police.
Oh, which on the list? Number two or number three?
Number three. Unfortunately, number two is in Honolulu.
Good. Oh, we have used him before. He is quite reliable.
Imagine our excitement if only we knew what the hell they were talking about.
I do not like the dirty games, Father. You must please explain to His Excellency that he has not the obligations of any sort.
That is understood, my son.
You will also make the lowest apology to His Excellency for your most naughty waste of his time.
That, too, is understood, my son.
I am grateful to you, Harley, for all the trouble that you've taken.
I would make the most untold efforts to return myself to your best graces.
Ah. Does the Chief of Police know about this?
Yes. It was to him that the poor, foolish fellow abandoned himself.
You put things so graphically, Harley. You will stay to lunch.
Perhaps His Excellency
I'm
would...
sure His Excellency will be enchanted. I wonder if curry is good for concussion.
I have taken the liberty of bringing you a small gift, Lady Sandra.
Oh.
In the event that you would pardon my foolishness and no longer frown on me with displeasure. It is outside in the hall.
How very sweet of you, Harley. What is it?
It is an ancient native drum that was given to my father's great father by King Kepumalani.
How exciting, George. You must learn to play it after lunch. It'll sort of release you.
You have then really forgiven me?
Of course I forgive you, Harley. I hope, too, that you will forgive me.
Of course, Lady Sandra.
I'm still confused, but this is obviously a beautiful moment.
But, Your Excellency, you still have the black look.
No, he can't help that. He comes from the black country.
Thank you, Ali. You have behaved exceedingly well, which is more than I can say for your father.
To err is human. To forgive, divine.
Pope again.
Born 1688, died 1744.
Luncheon is served, Your Excellencies.
That was South Sea Bubble by Noel Coward, with Moira Lister as Lady Alexandra, Michael Dennison as Sir George, Hugh Burden as Boffin, Margareta Scott as Cuckoo Honey, Brian Pringle as Punalo Alani, and Tony Osoba as Harley Alani. Edward Honey was played by Lockwood West, Mrs. Turling by Griselda Harvey, Admiral Turling by Patrick Barr, Captain Christopher Mortlock by Nigel Greaves, Robert Froome by Michael McStay, and Sanyamo by Leonard Fenton. The play was directed by David Johnston.